Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about going back to school. I wonder if some of you saw an article, an essay in Time magazine by Charles Krauthammer called Education, Doing Bad and Feeling Good. I'm going to read you a part of this. A standardized math test was given to 13-year-olds in 6 countries last year. Koreans did the best. Americans did the worst, coming in behind Spain, Britain, Ireland, and Canada. Now the bad news. Besides being shown triangles and equations, the kids were shown the statement, "I am good at mathematics." Koreans came in last in this category. Only 23% answered yes. Americans were number one, with an impressive 68% in agreement. American students may not know their math, but they have evidently absorbed the lessons of the newly fashionable self-esteem curriculum, wherein kids are taught to feel good about themselves. Of course, it's not just educators who are convinced that feeling good is the key to success. The governor of Maryland recently announced the formation of a task force on self-esteem. Quote, "a 23-member panel created on the theory," explains the Baltimore Sun, "that drug abuse, teen pregnancy, failure in school, and most other social ills can be reduced by making people feel good about themselves." Judging by the international math test, such task forces may be superfluous. Kids already feel exceedingly good about doing bad. Another paragraph from Krauthammer's essay. "The battle cry is inclusion in the teaching curriculum for every politically situated minority. In California, for example, it is required by law that textbooks not just exclude, quote, adverse reflection of any group, but include, quote, equal portrayal, unquote, of women, minorities, and the handicapped. In texts on history or current events or achievements in art, science, or any other field, the contributions of women and men should be represented in approximately equal numbers." Well, Krauthammer goes on to show the absolute impossibility and absurdity of this so-called inclusion. This is an ideology masquerading as education and aspiring to psychotherapy. "It demands outright lying," says Charles Krauthammer. "Not all groups in America have contributed to the development of all aspects of our society. There is little to be said, for example, about the Asian American contribution to basketball, about the Jewish American contribution to the Pico War, or about the contribution of women to the Bill of Rights. Some connection could, of course, be found, manufactured, if one pushed it. But pushing it would be entirely in the service of ideology, not truth. American history has not been smoothly and proportionately multicultural from the beginning. Honesty requires saying so. But honesty is not the object of the inclusion movement. Psychic healing is." So that's as far as I'm going to read at the moment from Charles Krauthammer's essay in Time magazine. Self-esteem, how often we hear that word. Acceptance by our peers and superiors. All of us have doubts. Many of them are well-founded. All of us need to press on toward the mark. We need to aim high. We need to learn. We need to apply what we learn. We weren't made to feel good about ourselves. We were made for God. We were made to glorify Him and to enjoy Him forever. God wants a relationship with us. And if we know the route to happiness, we will know that it comes through a relationship to God. Our purpose in being here on earth is to know Him, to grow into His likeness. And in order to do that, we must begin by a total surrender of ourselves, described for us in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12. Therefore, my brothers, I implore you, by God's mercy, to offer your very selves to Him, a living sacrifice, dedicated and fit for His acceptance, the worship offered by mind and heart. My object in life, dear friends out there who are listening to the radio, is not primarily to feel good about myself, but to offer the worship of my mind and heart to Him, to be accepted by God. Now, of course, there isn't any way that I can earn that acceptance. I could work my hardest, use all my brains, all my talents, work my fingers to the bone, be stressed out for the rest of my life, and there's no way that I would be accepted by God. We are accepted on the merits of the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. I stand upon His merit. I know no other stand. But then I can either please Him or displease Him by obedience or disobedience. And Paul himself, that great apostle, said, I have not already attained. I'm pressing on toward the mark. So let's forget about our self-esteem and think about what it is that will most please God. Let us make of our lives, of our very bodies, a living sacrifice. Make our whole lives an offering. We were made to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And so that relationship that I'm speaking about begins with surrender. Paul goes on to say, adapt yourselves no longer to the pattern of this present world, but let your minds be remade and your whole nature thus transformed. Then you will be able to discern the will of God and to know what is good, acceptable, and perfect. He goes on to say, do not be conceited or think too highly of yourself, but think your way to a sober estimate based on the measure of faith that God has dealt to each of you. Note that he's not saying based on how you feel about yourself. Don't cherish inflated ideas of your own importance. The world is always encouraging us to do that. But have a sane estimate. A sane estimate means not too high, not too low. Just truthful, accurate. In other words, it's just a matter of facing the reality about ourselves, isn't it? I know my faults. I know perfectly well how far I am from perfection. I know that I'm not a perfect 10. I certainly am not the most gorgeous woman that ever lived. In fact, I grew up convinced that I was one of the ugliest. But that's not an accurate estimate either. I don't suppose I'm one of the ugliest. But why should we be so concerned about ourselves? Why should we spend so much time thinking about who I am? Why not get to know God? Let me read you another passage. Let's get away from Elizabeth Elliot opinions. Back to the scriptures, James 4, verses 7 to 10. Be submissive to God. Stand up to the devil, and he will turn and run. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Sinners, make your hands clean. You who are double-minded, see that your motives are pure. Be sorrowful. Mourn and weep. Turn your laughter into mourning and your gaiety into gloom. Humble yourselves before God, and He will lift you high. Now, there's a couple verses that I haven't heard very much preached about. Be sorrowful, mourn, and weep. They're not what you'd call very positive, are they? But this is the Word of God. Turn your laughter into mourning and your gaiety into gloom. There's a time for this, a time to consider our faults, our weaknesses, our sins, humble ourselves before God, and then let God be the one who lifts us high. Pride goes before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. Then 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says this, "We should not dare to class ourselves or compare ourselves with any of those who put forward their own claims. What fools they are to measure themselves by themselves, to find in themselves their own standard of comparison." I think that verse needs to be read again in this context of self-esteem. We should not dare to class ourselves or compare ourselves with any of those who put forward their own claims. What fools they are to measure themselves by themselves, to find in themselves their own standard of comparison. Back to Charles Krauthammer's essay, he ends with this paragraph. "The pursuit of good feeling in education is a dead end. The way to true self-esteem is through real achievement and real learning. Politically balkanized curricula will only ensure that our schools continue to do bad, for which feeling good, no matter how relentlessly taught, is no antidote." That's from Krauthammer's essay entitled "Education, Doing Bad and Feeling Good."
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.